This is KTOO Public Media's Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host today. It's about 24 minutes past the hour. Our next guests are here to preview this evening's lecture on language revitalization as part of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Rated Language Revitalization Lecture Series. We have Christy Dillingham, Education Director at SHI. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott.
It's nice to have you. Visiting scholar and professor, Dr. Marianne Ignace. I messed it up, Doctor. Will you tell me how to say your last name again, please?
Ignace.
Ignace. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. And also Susie Edwardson. She is a language project coordinator, a student of Dr. Ignace, and also a board member of KTOO. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. Christy, can you set this up for us? Tell us a little bit about this lecture series and how Dr. Ignace got here.
Absolutely. We started the lecture series 2 weeks ago with Lance Hone Twitchell, and he kind of set the stage for where we are in our language revitalization efforts here in Southeast Alaska. And he kind of gave a calling to the community to start really thinking deeply about if we're going to take language revitalization to the next step. We're going to have to start shifting our value system, and we're going to have to start shifting the way we are approaching language revitalization. So this lecture series, we're bringing in three more guests. Dr. Ignace is here tonight with us at 5 p.m. February 3rd. We have William Pila Wilson and his wife Kawanoia Kamara from Hawaii, and to talk about the language revitalization efforts in Hawaii. And finally, we're ending the series on February 12th with Patrick Huerto, and he is from Dual Language Education of New Mexico. And so really starting to look at our practices of how do we start bringing the efforts into some of our educational institutions? What does that look like, whether it's through full immersion, whether it's through dual language? How do we start preparing bilingual teachers here in Southeast Alaska? And so there's a lot of efforts and a lot of momentum happening right now to really start shifting what we're doing.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Ignace, Professor of Linguistics and First Nations Studies at Simon Fraser University and Director of the school's First Nations Languages Program and Research Center, among other things. And would you continue your introduction, please?
Ang, yes. Hadalasi. Gul kishkit hinu hat kishkitikyang. Marian Ignace hinu di yatshade kishkitikyang. Awas aguiu di het aninaslu. Hadas guai hu. Stiltigen, itkunesi, sandalnesken, lana stang di kaidgan. So I just said who I am. My adopted Haida name that I was given many years ago when, as a very young person, I arrived in Haida Gwaii is Gulkishgat. And it was given to me by my adoptive mother, Sandalne, and my uncle, Lana Stang. To honor that name, and Nani Emma Sandalne said when she took me in, as I was a researcher, but I stayed with her, lived with her, and she said, well, I'll raise you Haida way. So, and that included learning the language with her and with her peers, and who became ditolang, my relatives. And it's an obligation that I think I've taken serious ever since. I've carried on after what I thought at one point was a short detour through the interior of British Columbia. But then I met my husband, was doing research there, and 35 years later, that other language, Sukwatmukhtin, the language of the Shuswap people in interior BC, is my home language that we have not only documented and researched, but also my husband, Chief Ron Ignace, and I have experienced raising our children exposed to the language, speaking the language. And so that's what I do in one part of my life. And I have called upon by Indigenous communities in BC, more lately Yukon, and a little bit in the last couple of years in Heidelberg, worked with adults to train them to become as proficient as possible in Indigenous languages, because as we're losing so many speakers, the most daunting task that we face is to support and nourish adults as second language speakers of their Indigenous languages to become as good as they can to then teach and organize programs from Language Nest preschools all the way through adults to the school system.
Okay, thank you. Also in the studio with us is Susie Edwardson, Language Project Coordinator at SHI, and is also a board member here at KTOO and a student of yours. Susie, can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Susie Edwardson, and I work at SHI. I'm in the Master's in First Nations and Linguistics program that Marianne created.
Co-created?
Yeah.
All right. I have some questions for you about her teaching style and all of that here in a minute. Dr. Ignace, can you tell us a little bit about what you want to focus on tonight at the lecture?
I will mainly be focusing on just that. What are best practices, feasible ways of working in Indigenous communities with adults to support them in their path to gain not just very basic skills in a language, but high, up to advanced kind of skills so that they can become the next torchbearers, teachers in their communities to carry forward the use of languages.
Susie, as one of her students, what would you say are one of her best practices or something that's helped you in your language education?
She's really encouraging and has a lot of good advice because she's been doing this for a very long time. So,
all right. And what would you say are some of the examples? I know you're going to be speaking about this at length tonight, but can you share one example that you like to
share?
Well,
one example is a colleague of Susie's in the master's program whom I've been honored to also have as my student. That's Kuyang Ben-Yang, who lives and works in Heidelberg, who through a number of approaches that involved his Chinna, his grandfather, who was then in his 90s, to train one-on-one with him, to then seek out every opportunity to learn the language. The master's was only sort of the final thing. Ben was had a really, really solid base in the language. But he is one of these amazingly talented people who then was called upon to go back to Heidelberg and start a language nest. And that was his research for his master's. And we did research supported by the Heidelberg School District with the young kids in the nest to map out and measure their emergent skills in the language. And that was a really, really interesting and rewarding project. So that's one thing I'll talk about a little bit. In addition to that, we have, through our First Nations Language Program at SFU, in the last 4 years or so, worked with a growing number of Indigenous communities at this point in BC and Yukon to provide intensive sort of 8-month to year-long programs that through full-time immersion really make a difference about how young people can advance their skills in the language.
Susie, will you remind me, were you raised in your language or have you relearned it as you've gotten older?
I started learning as an adult.
Got it. Yeah. And what has that meant for you, relearning your language?
I've been able to get closer to my family, my immediate family, and then my extended family. So that's been a great thing. And it's also a really great tool to use for community building. And, yeah.
All right. Dr. Ignace, you mentioned a language nest a couple times.
Yes.
I know we have a language nest here. Can you describe what that is?
Language nests are early childhood programs where the language that is used throughout in interactions with the young children is the target language. They were first piloted, if you want, in Hawaii, and I understand next week you'll have two of the architects of Hawaiian immersion, Pila and his wife, coming. Mm-hmm. And the Maori people in Aotearoa, New Zealand, around the same time began doing language nests in their communities. And it's become kind of a way that shows that early language immersion has rewards. The children catch on. It's a fun way and an engaging way and an effortless way for them to get into the language and also to plant the seed of their pride, their identity that they'll carry forth through life.
Okay. Christy, can you please give us the details again on tonight's lecture?
Absolutely. Tonight's lecture is at the Walter Soboloff Building in our Klan House. It begins at 5 p.m. We'll have about 45 minutes to an hour of kind of learning from Dr. Ignace, and then we'll open it up for questions and discussions. For those of you who are kind of nervous about getting out in the weather tonight, we will be videotaping and posting in approximately a week. We'll have it posted to YouTube. In addition, with this language revitalization series, SHI has put out a new podcast called Roots and Stems, and Dr. Ignace is also going to be featured on one of those podcasts. And so there's two different ways for you to learn if you can't come out tonight, what Dr. Ignace is kind of helping our community expand our thoughts and our thinkings on language revitalization. So in person, on YouTube, or on the podcast.
All right. It's the voice of Christy Dillingham. She's the education director at SHI. Also on the show today is Dr. Marianne Ignace. She is speaking tonight, 5 p.m. in the Klein House at the Walter Soboloff Building. And Susie Edwardson, language project coordinator and also board member of KTOO. Thank you so much, the three of you, for being on the show. Is there anything I'm missing? Anything you'd like to add?
Thank you.
Thank you.